live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here in for Steve Cochran, again on a covert mission. I'm filling in for Steve this morning, this Wednesday morning. Hump day. Yeah, man, hump day. Kev, it's hump day.
Hump day.
Yeah.
It's here.
So I'm filling in for Steve, and Andrea's here. Hi, Andrea.
How you doing, Dave?
And Dave. Dave,
how morning.
Are you? Mary?
What's up?
Happy post-birthday.
Oh, thanks.
Yesterday was Mary's birthday, and we forgot about it until the last third of the show.
No, the surprise party. We didn't want to ruin the surprise
party. Ruin the surprise party. By the way, and helping Kev. Hey, Kev, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great.
Maximus is in there, mm-hmm. and he's being helped out this morning by DJ Turk.
Who?
DJ Turk.
I'm guessing that's Elif?
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll explain why she's DJ Turk.
Why?
Elif filled in. She's worked with me on my show, my overnight show, from 2 to 5 a.m. on weekdays here on WGN. And on Fly Jams Friday, we all have our own nicknames.
Oh, right.
So I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki. Esmeralda is Esmeralda the Heart Melda.
Okay.
And Dan is DJ Shagru. And so one morning, Elif was filling in for Dan on Fly Jams Friday, and we needed a nickname for her, and she came up, because she's Turkish.
Oh.
And her family is from Turkey. She came up with DJ Turk.
Perfect. Oh, I needed a nickname for her.
Yeah, so we got Maximus and DJ Turk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love it.
I'm sure Steve's listening right now going, that's fantastic, Nick. Way to ruin my show. We've got some good stuff coming up for you. Karen Conti is going to be here to talk some legal ramifications of big news stories. We got Hawks tickets to give away. Karen Travers from ABC is going to join us to talk about President Obama's speech yesterday.
Yeah.
And the executive orders.
What an emotional speech and the executive order, which we expected. But when he started crying, that became the story.
That was the focal point.
Yeah.
In weird and positive and negative ways. I had read, let me just say this. When something like this happens, and everybody has their own politics and everybody has their own opinions.
Right.
When a story like this happens, when an executive order is given and Obama does it, and it's so polarizing, mm-hmm. and everybody has an opinion, this is just me. And don't read the comment section of anything on the internet or on Facebook.
I agree.
Because it's like you think it's the end of the world.
No,
like,
I
you look
agree.
At it and I've lost all hope in any kind of humanity.
I know. Well, when that became the focal point of the story, I thought, okay, really?
But yeah, and it's and you knew, like, everybody has their opinion, and there's a lot of extreme opinions about it. And just whatever your politics are, my recommendation is to, I think social media, some things about social media, some aspects are great and wonderful, and some of it is horrible.
Completely agree.
And in cases like this, when you read the comment sections of people who post stuff on Facebook, it's just maddening. And sometimes, I try to stay away from it. Sometimes I'll make a mistake and click onto something and look at it, and then I find myself being furious.
Right.
And then I think to myself, well, I can't judge the entire world or country by the crap that I'm reading on some Facebook page.
I think that's a good edict to have for pretty much any story. I mean, if you take a look at any story, look at the Steve Harvey story. Yes, he made a mistake. Yes, he was wrong. Yes, he owned it. He apologized.
Right.
And just the character bashing and the racial comments.
SNL did a great bit a few weeks ago called Should I Chime In on This? It was a game show. It was a game show, and it was three regular sort of goofballs who are unqualified in any capacity to talk like an expert or with a lot of knowledge about news stories. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, Kenan Thompson played the game show host, and he started talking about the Syrian refugee issue. And he said this, and then the object was for these people to whether they would chime in or not. And they would say, well, I don't have a job, and I have absolutely no idea what's going on with Syrian refugees. But, bam, I think I should chime in on this. And it was very funny, and it was a goofy setup, but yet it was really sort of telling. And it was a very, it was truthful,
very poignant,
and very funny.
Very poignant.
But not everything you read. And a lot. And by the way, a lot of stuff that you see on the internet, I don't have to. We do have to keep reminding people that 90% of it you have to triple and quadruple check before you even remotely think there's a possibility of a sliver of truth in it.
Absolutely.
It's just. It's
maddening.
It
is. No, it is.
Reported as fact.
That's the thing that's nuts. And then people think it's fact, and then the crazy comments start. And it's like, what? You know, like I saw online yesterday. A Fox News reporter, the headline read, and this is, you know, and I happen to be liberal. I've made it known on this station. I've been on the station for 30 years, and my politics are to the left, absolutely. But I read this thing where the headline was Fox News anchor or Fox News correspondent claims that Obama had a raw onion at his podium and used it on his eye for tears. And I was like, oh, no, this is insane. So I click onto the video. And I watch it, and there are people whose politics, the people on Fox News whose politics I do not agree with in any possible way. But the woman said, in a very sarcastic, snarky way, said, someone should check the podium for a raw onion. Now, this person did not claim that Obama used a raw onion to get the tears, but the headline reads like, this woman says that he used a raw onion to get crocodile tears. Now, someone who doesn't click on
and read it
to the video and watch the actual video and see that it was a smart aleck remark from someone, not based in fact, but just someone making, you know, making a smart aleck remark, would click onto that and go, oh my God, Fox News, they're saying that he used an onion. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that it's those little things that make my mind explode.
Yeah, when you say things tongue in cheek and then
I can't believe I'm defending Fox News.
Out of context, Kev.
I can't believe I'm defending Fox News.
Mark the tape.
So we've got that. We're going to talk about that. And the other huge story this morning, Andre, if you want to talk about it, is that North Korea claims that they have successfully tested a hydrogen bomb. We're going to talk about that and get some updates on that.
Yeah, and USA Today, I think I had probably had the best. You want to talk like attention-grabbing headlines. They called it a world-startling event, and it really is. North Korea claiming that their hydrogen bomb test overnight was successful. It's defiant. It's surprising. And if confirmed, it'll put North Korea much closer to improving their nuclear arsenal.
Now, is this the fourth time they've tested a nuclear device? I think it's the fourth time they've tested a nuclear device.
They've tested in the past, yeah.
Now, I understand that this was unannounced, and everybody thought it was such a big deal because there was shockwaves, and everybody thought it might have been an earthquake. But is it surprising that this is the kind of behavior that's coming from North Korea?
No.
I don't think so.
And you know what, too? What's even more surprising is that they had, when they were announcing that this was a successful test, you know, and people there, obviously, many hours ahead of us getting up, going to work. This is on the TV screens there. Right. And people are gathering in what would be their Daily Plaza or their Times Square, cheering and celebrating, waving flags, jumping up and down like this is a huge... Yeah. Well, in their minds, it is. This is a huge victory for them.
Yeah. Well, we'll get some updates on that. And we've got news correspondents all over the world and in North Korea.
Call Dennis Rodman.
And we'll call Dennis Rodman. He can just go in, right, and fix it?
I would think.
Yeah. He could just go in and fix it. He can fix anything, Dennis Rodman, you know, if you think about it. So those are two huge stories that we're going to be covering throughout the morning. And, of course, the North Korea story being the breaking one. But we will analyze what's happening and how people felt about the Obama thing. But here's the deal. Triple and quadruple check anything that you read on the Internet and on Facebook. And don't read comments. That's all I'm saying. Don't scroll down. And don't
words
scroll down.
To live by.
Don't scroll down. Don't click.
Yeah. And don't hit send.
Don't hit
those,
send.
Those are my words to live by.
Dave Bennett, ladies and gentlemen. Dave Bennett. It's not just the hair that's great. All right. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran this morning, and we're covering the big stories. We'll talk about the reaction to President Obama's very emotional speech yesterday. I've never quite seen anything like that, and of course the executive order, and we will talk about the ramifications of that, and we will also be talking about the breaking story about North Korea claiming to have tested a successful hydrogen bomb, and we'll have people jumping in here. We'll talk around that. I think around 7:15. right now, Maximus, we'll have a correspondent.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have someone overseas about 7:15 this morning.
All right, cool. We'll cover that. But we got our eyes open on all of these things happening, as we do every morning. All right, Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Last night was a crazy Hawks game, and Dave, I missed the third period and overtime because of my screening.
Oh, you didn't miss any. You didn't miss anything.
I know, I heard.
Nothing happened.
My phone was buzzing like it was going to explode my pants. You mark that one down, Maximus.
Yeah, really, you don't want sent.
But yeah, I mean, my phone was buzzing like crazy during the second, you know, during the movie because, you know, the crazy stuff was happening. I saw the first two periods.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. Good stuff. The second period, not
Corey
so much.
Crawford somehow saved the day.
You know, when they scored the goal, we were about to go into the theater for all that jazz, and my parents were with me, and we were in Bogart's restaurant, and they have TVs in there, so we were watching the game there before the movie. And we were about to go into the theater, and they scored the goal, and my mom was like, no shutout for Crow! She was so upset. I'm like, Mom, you can't have a shutout every night.
Maybe he stopped 34, 35
exactly.
shots.
So I missed the third period and the overtime. So for my benefit alone, and nobody else's, no, I'm kidding. You guys always play back the Blackhawks Express. So let's hear what happened last night against the Penguins, who the Hawks are playing tonight. Here we go.
Chicago Blackhawks invade the home of Sid the Kid tonight here in Steeltown in the first game of a home-and-home set with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And after a coaching change, the Pens have picked up the pace, going 4-1-1 in their last six games with plenty of firepower. The Hawks team defense will be tested for sure here tonight. Down to center ice we go. Malkin and Taves are ready. Kozari with his hand in the air, the drop of the puck. This one's underway, and the Penguins control off the draw. Now Malkin took the puck into the Hawk line, right wing, from the left circle. A shot from Kessel, and a glove save is made by Crawford. He'll hold the puck. Good quick release there by Phil Kessel near the top of the left wing circle, but Crawford saw it all the way and got it with the glove. Jalmerson fires from the line, block. Here's Hossa down the slot, lost the puck. Taves follows up and fires, and Fleury stopped them both. He'll hold the puck, and a whistle stops play. Lovejoy put it up the boards, picked off by the Hawks. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, left point. He snaps it down the boards, in behind the Pens net. Oh, and a big hit by Shaw and his former teammate Trevor Daly in the far corner. Daly goes down to the ice. That's the hit of the hockey game. Siebert put a pass up the right side. Not out. Penguins keep it alive. Mata to Kunitz to Parama. Circle. He shoots and down is Crawford with a butterfly save. Kane leads a 2-on-1 break in over the Penguin line. Moves it over to Panarin. He shoots. He scores! Artemi Panarin with a one-timer from the left wing circle. And Fleury could not get across the crease to stop that one. Panarin beat him cleanly. It's 1-0 Hawks. Siebert top of the right circle. Penguin zone. Hammers a shot. He scores! It was Taves crowding the front of the net. That may have hit Jonathan Taves on the way in, but the puck tumbled into the back of the Penguin cage, and the Hawks have now extended their lead to 2-0. Dubalin, he shot it across on the right wing to Chris Letang, and he'll carry out of the Pen zone to center ice. Gave it to Perron over the Hawk line, right wing to Crosby, right circle, shoots and scores. Sid the Kid took a nice handoff there. And from near the top of the right circle, snap one that beat Crawford on the blocker side. The Penguins are on the board, trailing 2-1. Crosby wins the draw to Letang, left point, drives a shot, he scores.
There you go, an icing call, a missed pass. Shot from the point, Brian Dumoulin. All kinds of traffic in front of the net. It's a clean face-off victory, and it's in the back of the net.
Malkin got it back along the left wing board. Moves it to the top of the right circle, Kessel beside the net. Now Letang, a point blank shot, Crawford a sliding pad save. Oh, a miraculous save by Crawford. Kane crisscrossing with Panarin. Panarin takes the puck into the right circle, shoots off the crossbar. Oh, it's into the net, he scores! Hawks win in overtime. Panarin shot from the right circle, went in and out of the Penguin net. And the Hawks win here in Pittsburgh 3-2.
All right, there you go. Wait a minute. Put on my mic. That's how that works.
That's a good first step.
Good. Thanks. Thanks. I've only been at the station for 30 years. I think you'd think I'd know what button to press. That's the Blackhawks Express. And
see, you didn't miss much.
No, I didn't miss anything.
No.
Didn't miss anything.
Hashtag Breadman has become, you know, the favorite of the day.
I just love the fact that, like, before You know, like when the whole Breadman nickname started, Panarin had no idea what it was, like no clue. And I remember I heard the story there was a picture on the internet of Panarin standing outside of Panera, and they took a picture of him. And I have no doubt in my mind that they were like driving in a car, and were just driving, and you know he's in the car with you know like whoever is driving with some people, and they're like, oh, you got to get out and stand in front of this place, and he's like, what?
Okay,
get out of car, stand in front of place. And so there he is, he smiles, and they take a picture of him, and that thing goes nuts. But I'm sure, I'm sure he can get some sort of like promotional deal.
For life?
I think it's been discussed. I mean, a lot of people, I think Cochran proposed it. I don't know if anything came of it.
Yeah.
But the Christmas video the Blackhawks did with the Yule log.
Yes.
And
so
Panarin comes in, and he's got a big loaf of bread,
right,
and he starts eating it.
Yeah.
When he was in studio, Cochran said to him, have you eaten there?
Yeah.
And he said, I went in there for tea, like hot tea.
No bread, though. No bread.
But that was when he had Viktor Tikhonov with him to translate what he was saying.
And he had tea. Tea. Cano.
Exactly.
See how that works? Mm-hmm. There's another tie-in right there. Another tie-in right there.
Got it.
Hawks play tonight at the UC. 7:30 puck drop.
7 o'clock puck drop.
Sorry, 7 o'clock puck drop. No, they don't do 7:30s anymore.
No, they do.
Do they?
They do, but this is an NBC Sportsnet
game. It's a Sportsnet game. So 7 o'clock here at home. 6:30 pregame here on WGN with Judd.
12 hours from now.
12 hours from now. All right. I know what I'm doing 12 hours from now. Probably sleeping.
<That's right. laughs>
Because my hours are all screwed up. But I'll be back to normal after this. All right. We got to break here. Kev, I'm supposed to mention a sponsor, aren't I?
Yeah. The Express was brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
See, I did it.
Nice job, Nick.
Thank you, buddy.
Well done.
All right. We'll take a break.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio, that's me, in for Steve Cochran on this Wednesday morning. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right here overlooking Michigan Avenue, here till 10 a.m., full crew here. And, we are going to be covering all those news stories that you're hearing about. Obviously, the testing of a hydrogen bomb in North Korea is the big story that's still developing, and we'll get all the details on that and talk about that a little bit later on as well. We'll get the reaction to Obama's speech yesterday and the executive order. And we're going to talk legal stuff with Karen Conti coming up in just a second here. But before we do that, I do want to mention that we have a text question here. Maximus, I think you'll enjoy this one.
All right, let's hear it.
Here's the text question. We throw out this question, and you can text anytime you want throughout the show. We'll gather them up and read them throughout the show. Send your text to 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Now, I know that everybody on this particular program, on the Steve Cochran Show, made New Year's resolutions that involve some sort of intake of food or beverage.
Right.
And so I wanted – what about you, Kevin? Did you?
Yeah, Nick. The toughest one. No fast food for me.
Are you out of your mind?
Yes, apparently, but no fast food for me for the first 30 days.
Oh.
I can't go a whole year.
Yeah, then what happens?
Okay.
Then I go to Taco Bell, get a 5-layer burrito and a cheese grated crunch.
Yeah, and that's just for starters. That's the app.
That's the appetizer.
What about you, Andrea? What's yours?
I gave up. I'm doing Seattle Sutton.
Okay.
So I'm eating, you know, 3 freshly prepared meals a day.
Is there a goal?
Yeah, I want to lose some weight.
Okay.
I want to lose some weight and just eat healthier because I'm not to the Kevin level of eating junk food, but I do. You know, I eat sporadically when I, there's no routine to it. And I gave up drinking as well. I don't drink as much as Dave, obviously.
You gave up drinking?
But, yeah, well, I have to. I drink water and coffee now.
Oh, man.
I know.
All right.
That bites.
But I think I lost a pound.
Listen to these people. You gave up drinking? I'm on 7 months right now.
Sorry, Nick.
Jeez. It's not difficult already, but I'm getting this guy's ridiculous. Now, Mary, what about you?
I was forced to give up candy.
Candy.
Yeah. And then
oh, that's right. Yesterday
chocolate.
We specified that. So if I got you a can of Duncan Hines frosting and a spoon, you'd be okay.
Mm-hmm. But then Mary was funny because you were saying she gave up chocolate at first, but then Steve said, no, you have to give up all candy. And Mary's like, well, chocolate's not candy.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they're like, you have to give up chocolate if it's in a cookie. Oh,
it is.
Forget that.
Oh, wait, so quick, cookies are okay.
Put like a chocolate chip cookie.
that's okay.
I'm eating it. I mean, come on.
That's candy. Chocolate's candy.
It's
I'm looking it up.
Chocolate chip cookie. A
okay.
cookie.
All right. Mm-hmm. So if I offered you Skittles, no. That's candy.
Yeah, I like candy. Like, I eat Bullseyes a lot, you know, the caramel things.
That's candy.
Oh, I'm not eating it.
Wow. Okay. Right. You must be the only person still eating those things, Mary.
I love Bullseyes.
I mean, I like them, but where do you find them? I thought those
Walgreens.
Things were... Walgreens has Bullseyes?
Oh, yeah. Well, for sure.
You don't have to get them
caramel creams, I think.
You don't have to get into a DeLorean and go back to 1970 for your Bullseyes?
They're the best.
Okay,
and I eat Starburst a lot.
By the way, Mary, candy, also called sweets, a confection that features sugar as the principal ingredient. The category encompasses any sweet confection, including chocolate, chewing gum, and sugar candy.
What?
Chocolate.
So I can't chew gum?
It's Wikipedia.
Yeah. It's Wikipedia, believe it.
All right.
I just went in, by the way, in about 5 minutes, I'm going in there and changing that entry.
You know what? It's not Lent. I'm not adhering
to include kale.
Mary gave up. Day two.
All right, Dave, what about you? You gave up wine, right?
Wine, yes.
See, he's got the easiest one.
Yeah.
You got the easiest one.
I don't think so.
What? God.
Well, I don't know what I was supposed to give up.
Well, I understand, but I mean, like, Kevin can't eat fast food. That's hard.
It's very hard.
Considering the kind of schedule Kevin has and how, you know, if you're busy, it's the reason why fast food is popular is because you can go there and
quickly get it.
Like, when the McDonald's was across the street here in the Wrigley Building Center, I used to go there all the time, and I don't like McDonald's. But I went there because it was there.
Yeah, it's close.
It's across the street, and I could throw something into my mouth. And so, oh, God, Kev, I know
go.
You leave a smile on his
keep
face.
A tally.
Mark that one down for Straight Out of Context, returning on Friday. Well, anyway, my point is, text question, 312-981-7200. What is your favorite junk food to eat? Now, Orion's not here, so I can say that, junk food. What is your favorite junk food to eat? Now, I have a story here that I'll get to a little bit later, but the headline reads, eating in front of a mirror can make junk food a lot less delicious. This is...
Eating in front of a mirror.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because you look like a slob?
I have the news right here.
Hmm.
It's a big story. So anyway, 312-981-7200, your guilty junk food that you eat all the time. So, and I can't believe Kev has given up fast food. Unbelievable. All right, Karen Conti is on the line, and we're going to talk some legal stories here, and here is Karen. Hey, Karen, do you have a junk food that you enjoy?
I don't eat a lot of junk food, but when I do, I can't stop eating caramel corn.
That's good stuff.
Caramel corn, I could eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I could wake up in the middle of the night and eat it. Yes, that is my downfall.
Okay. Well, listen,
I consider it a vegetable serving, though.
It is. Sure, it's corn.
It's corn.
It's corn. Of course it is. Yeah, absolutely. Now, we want to talk about the Cosby case and
sure.
many of the things about the Cosby case. But before we do, obviously one of the big stories, and it has legal ramifications, huge legal ramifications, is President Obama's proposed changes and the executive order that he gave. Now, my question is, historically, Karen, can you talk a little bit about the differences between what happens during executive orders and actual changing laws?
Yeah, it's a thin line. And just to put it in perspective, I think everyone perceives Obama as using this executive power all the time. But really, he's not a frequent user of it compared to other presidents. I mean, President Clinton used it all the time. FDR used it 3,000 times. So the question is, of course, separation of powers. So the president can only deal with executive issues, and of course the Congress are the only ones who can make laws. So if Obama is making a law, then that's wrong, and that's a violation. So in this case, and again, I don't know how I come down on this, but it seems to me that what he's doing is more hiring, more background checks, enforcing laws that aren't being enforced, more examiners, more ATF people. Those types of things, to me, are all executive. Those are ways to enforce the already existing laws. Where we come close to changing the laws is, do we call a gun dealer, an antique gun dealer, a gun dealer, and make him do all the things that a normal gun dealer would have to do?
Hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know where I come down on that, because I'm not sure exactly how those things are going to be enforced. Does that actually change the laws of the state? I'm not sure that it does. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there saying it would, but... You know, big picture, I think sometimes presidents will enact these executive orders with the idea that, all right, Congress, now you guys do what you should do. The public likes this idea. They think it's a good idea. Now you guys enact the laws consistent with my executive orders. And maybe that's what he's hoping.
Okay. All right, well, Karen, we want to get your thoughts on that, but when we come back, we'll take a break, okay, Karen? Hang on.
Sure.
Karen Conti is with us. She's our legal expert, and this Bill Cosby case is there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of it that I don't understand, and that's why Karen is here. I don't understand a lot of things, and that's why I have experts come on and talk to me about it. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio here, and I'm filling in for Steve. He's got the day off because of a covert mission that he's on that we can't really talk about.
Shh, don't talk about it.
I know we can't talk about it. But he'll be back tomorrow morning, and I will be back on my regular show from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. But we're talking with Karen Conti, who is our legal expert. And Karen, what an incredibly interesting case this Bill Cosby thing has turned out to be. You've been following it, yes?
I have, absolutely.
And what are the most interesting? What are the most interesting aspects for you? What do you find most fascinating about it?
Well, I find fascinating how a defense lawyer starts to spin Bill Cosby because, you know, he had such a great reputation to begin with, as everyone thought. He was this grandfatherly role model, great guy, standing up for the right thing. And now, you know, he's been accused by 40 people. So here's what the defense lawyer I see is doing in the case, the criminal case out in Pennsylvania. You know, she's talking about him. He comes into court. You saw him. He's kind of hobbling. He's stumbling. She talked about his eye condition. Apparently, he's got this degenerative eye condition
right.
that makes him blind.
Right.
And now, you know, I think the spin from what I see is going to be that, you know, the woman is about 6'1". She was a very prominent college athlete, so she was in good shape. And here was this grandfatherly guy who's now stumbling, and he's 78 years old. How could he overpower her? Why would he overpower her? That's not what he would do. And that's going to be the spin for the jury, probably even for the judge who's going to sentence Cosby if he's convicted. And I find it fascinating that she's already starting that whole spin. Mm. And that's things that I'm not criticizing it because that's what lawyers do. That's what we do to zealously advocate for our client. But I'm seeing that loud and clear. I'm wondering if your listeners see the same thing.
Now, you know, you mentioned the eye condition. How is that relevant to the case? Just to make him look less powerful?
Right. I mean, it's not relevant. I mean, if a woman had an eye condition, you could say, well, she didn't know who was attacking her because she couldn't see. But how in the world is that relevant to anything? No, it's not. And I think that's all the sympathy vote. And, you know, Nick, it's interesting. You see this over the years. Do you remember the Menendez brothers?
Sure.
You remember him? They were in the 90s, and they were convicted of killing their parents. Well, they put them in suits. Remember that? And
yep.
then all of a sudden they appeared in these big, bulky kind of oversized sweaters. And the whole point was we were going to make these kids look like kids. And we're going to make people feel sorry for them because they're just kids instead of, you know, half-grown adults. And I think the spin, you know, goes on all the time with criminal defendants. And that's what's going to happen with Cosby.
Let me talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about the wife being compelled to testify. Is this sort of groundbreaking? Does this happen all the time? And what do you think is going to be the outcome there? And explain to people
yeah.
what that is.
Yeah, a deposition is a statement taken under oath, and you get to depose anyone you want basically within reason unless you're harassing somebody. And in this case, this is not the criminal case. This is the civil case. So these women are suing Cosby, saying that he lied about denying the fact that there was a rape. He, in fact, sued them back, remember, for defamation.
Mm.
So there's a lawsuit on both sides. He's claiming he lost business because of their false statements. Well, Camille Cosby is the business manager for Bill Cosby. So the other side said, well, if you're going to claim that you have damages, we want to depose your wife and ask her about these things. Clearly, that's relevant. There's a rule that says that in criminal cases, you can't compel spouses to testify against each other. Remember, this is not a criminal case. They tried that. Didn't work. The judge was right. The judge said, yes, you have to testify. There's a very limited amount of things that are privileged, meaning like if they had a very confidential conversation, that's off the table. But almost everything else that she would testify about is clear. And it's available, and both sides can call her to the stand. And I think this is just a tactic to delay. It's a tactic to claim there's harassment. But when you're in litigation, almost anything is fair game.
Okay. Now, what about the other accusers? And there have been how many? Over 40? Is that the number?
Yeah. I hard to keep track.
It's hard to keep track. Oh God,
that's my abacus.
Yeah. Where does how does that fall in, and what are the significance of them being deposed?
Well, I think it's all going to depend, and this I'm going to go back to the criminal case. I think it all depends on whether or not the judge is going to allow the testimony of all these other women into these other courts. And everyone says, well, of course they are. Isn't it important for the jury to know that Bill Cosby is accused of doing these things over and over again? And doesn't that make it more likely that he did it this particular time? And that sounds like common sense, but sometimes the law is not common sense. And the law doesn't allow the jury to hear prior bad acts, and that's what this is, acts over and over again, unless and there's certain exceptions to that rule. But it's going to be a thin line as to whether the judge is going to allow those other women to testify. If those women are allowed to testify, I think Cosby's going to lose for obvious reasons if the jury hears 40 women saying the same thing. And then I think they're going to be deposed. But I think that is the first threshold here as to whether or not there's a viable case. Will the women get to testify?
You know, you were talking about how the lawyers spin their clients, put a spin on them. What was your reaction to the footage that everybody watched a million times of Cosby being escorted into the police? He looked like I'd never seen Cosby look as sad, like overtly, insanely, over the top sad, and he could barely walk, and he was helped in. How much of that is spin? How much of that is real? In your opinion?
You know, I don't know, and we haven't seen him, you know, maybe in a while. But I do know that just within the last couple months, he was doing three-hour shows. And I do know, and you know, is doing stand-up and all these things. I mean, it takes a lot of energy to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's spin. You know, I don't know, and I'm not going to, you know, put words in anyone's mouth. But, I do think it's spin. I do. I think this is what they're going to do. I think they're going for the sympathy vote. They're going for the, here's the old guy. Why would you put him in jail now? Even if you think he did it, feel sorry for him. And it works sometimes, you know, and that might be their best tool.
When you watch coverage of, this is just a general question, Karen, when you watch coverage of high-profile cases like this, and you see footage of certain things, you just go, oh, come on. Do you sit in front of the TV and go, come on, nice move, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and it's probably more like a sports guy watching a game.
Right.
Instead of being a fan, you're analyzing it more. You're like taking an out-of-body experience. And I'm
right,
going, okay,
right.
Okay, that's what, first of all, he hires a female lawyer. I get it. The lawyer's going to be sitting next to him, and everyone's going to go, wow, if he didn't like women, and if he was going to attack women, isn't this woman afraid of him? So that's number one, and I'm looking at it real analytically. Why is he doing this? Who told him to do it? He's got, does he have somebody who's advising him? No, I'm much more analytical than I am. Oh, come on.
I gotcha.
Tomatoes,
that was great. Fascinating stuff. And again, Karen, we always like to throw this out here. If people, you know, need some advice or want to get in contact with you for legal reasons, how can people do that?
You can call me at 312-332-7800. Or email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com. And I just want to say, if I were the judge, the issue of whether a chocolate chip cookie is candy is, yes, it is.
Oh, you see that, Mary?
No.
That's it. You're done. You're screwed. Karen Conti says it's candy. You're done. She's going to fight that in court, Karen. Can you represent her?
I'll try the best I can.
It's a case she's not going to touch, Mary. I'm sorry. All right, Karen. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Have a good one. There's Karen Conti right there with some legal ramifications.
It will potentially save lives in this country and spare families the pain and the extraordinary loss that they've suffered as a consequence of a firearm being in the hands of the wrong people.
It's no good, it's no fair, and they're not going to screw around with the Second Amendment, okay? It's not going to happen. So that's the way it
is. The hint of a test first came when a 5.1 magnitude earthquake was detected near the nation's nuclear testing facilities. Unlike in the past, North Korea did not give an advance notice to the international community.
7 bites from the world of news right there, from Obama's speech yesterday, Donald Trump reacting to that, and reports of North Korea successfully testing a hydrogen bomb. And we're going to be covering that throughout the morning and get the latest on that coming up. And also Karen Travers from ABC is going to join us to talk about the reaction from President Obama's speech. And again, as we mentioned earlier, Andrea, an unbelievably emotional speech from the president that has once again polarized everybody who saw it.
Yeah, he started crying for those who didn't see it when he started talking about the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre in 2012. He was introduced by a man whose son was killed in that massacre, and that he started saying, every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. And the tears just started coming, and we were watching it upstairs in the newsroom and said, is the president crying? Because it was just a very subtle tear. It was a very passionate speech, you know, and the presidents don't issue executive actions or executive orders a lot, especially executive actions. But what he wants to do is, it seems like basic common sense gun laws, closing a few loopholes, expanding background checks for buyers, no matter where you buy your gun, whether it be at a gun show, online. So it's a gun show loophole is what they're calling
it. It does. I mean, you know, in my opinion, it doesn't seem like much, and it makes sense to me.
It does.
That's just me. It makes total sense. And personally, I think we need more. But a lot of people are taking both extreme sides. You know, like there are the people who are like, nobody's coming, you know, to take my Second Amendment rights away. Nobody's going to take my guns away. And people are reacting very angrily about it. And then other people are saying, that's not even enough. Well, the president didn't do anything. Right. So you can't, there's never going to be an absolute common ground.
No, he's literally stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because let me ask you this. Do you really, I mean, just your personal opinion here, and I don't want to start a gun control debate, but do people who own guns responsibly for hunting and that sort, whose rights are protected by the Second Amendment, do they really think that this is going to take their guns away?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't understand. I personally don't understand why it's such a big deal to have background checks to get a gun.
I agree, especially if you're on don't fly list you own a gun.
I don't see how that, if everything checks out in your life, and you know that you are a responsible gun owner and that you can get a gun legally, why is it such a big deal to do background checks and to make it just a little bit harder for people to get guns?
You know,
make it a little stricter. I don't understand what the big deal is.
At the suggestion of Dave Ennett, I just got a TSA pre-check a few months ago. You had to go fill out a ton of paperwork, get fingerprinted. Again, this is just, they're doing that is basically a background check on your character and your record.
And it's, as we were talking about earlier, you know, the changes that that Obama wants to make don't seem outrageous to me. But then the focus wasn't really about that. Mm-hmm. Like after the speech, it was about the emotional outburst or the crying.
Right.
It became
right.
about that. That was the focus on social media and on the internet and things like that.
And memes. Oh my gosh, I've never seen so many memes and vines about this.
But as we were talking about this earlier, in a situation like this, I have to learn to not read any comments. As Dave said earlier, don't scroll down.
Absolutely.
Because you'll lose all hope in humanity when you see some of the stuff that people write.
Right.
So in situations like this, I just stay away from the comments. And whenever you read anything on the internet, know that like 90% of it's not real. And if you think it's real, triple, quadruple check before you even think 1 second of it is real.
You know what? And I would love to see any politician, Democrat or Republican, just kind of stray to the other side of the issue. Again, Democrat or Republican, right. Because immediately when he made this, when he issued the executive action, right after the press conference, everybody's coming out on the Republican side. Trump, we heard his comments just now. Ted Cruz. And then you get Hillary Clinton. We need to respect this. So, you know, it's so expected.
It is expected. It's an election year, so that's you know, anybody who's running for president this year is in the Republican, especially on the Republican side, are going to jump on this.
Yeah.
And anytime Donald Trump can open his mouth about anything, he'll do that. So we've got Blackhawks tickets to give away. We're going to give them after 7:20. We're going to give them away. So stick around for that, because we've got Blackhawks tickets to give away for Friday's game against the Sabres. Pair of tickets. No, we have what? Do we have? Yeah, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Pair of tickets for the game against the Sabres on Friday, and that's coming up after 7:20. So stay tuned for that. Our text question of the morning is, what is the junk food that you love to eat? I have a story here that I'm going to read in a little bit. The headline is, eating in front of a mirror can make junk food less delicious. And we've got details on that. And the reason I bring it up is because as I sat in yesterday for Steve, I realized that everybody here has made New Year's resolutions that include either stop eating or stop drinking certain things, just getting in better shape and eating and, regulating your body a little bit better. So I wanted to ask you guys out there, 312-981-7200, even if you have, you know, resolutions, text us what your favorite junk, your guilty junk food pleasure. And before I get to some of these texts, really quick, let's go around the room. Andrea, and I know everybody here is on diets and we're all going to be good. What is, if you have a guilty pleasure junk food that you would eat nonstop?
Ideally,
if you could.
I love chips and dip. You know, just
any
regular
kind of chips and dip?
Yeah, just plain potato chips with, you know, the sour cream and onion dip, which I haven't had in a long time. But actually, I take it back. Right before Christmas, I went to a holiday party and they had all these appetizers out and chips and dip. And I thought, oh, I haven't had chips and dip in ages. Yeah. But I love, you know, anything sweet too.
See, I have no sweet tooth, but anything salty. I will just, if you like chips and dip, I could eat 5,000 tons of that stuff. Dave, do you have any at all? Kale?
Well, let's see. So junk.
This is a good question
Dave
for Dave.
Dave doesn't eat junk food.
Because he has, I don't even think he eats junk food.
Yeah.
I
How
really,
about those pretzels that your wife always brings in at Christmas?
Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you only have those once a year.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Dave eat junk.
Okay. I've seen him eat those pretzels.
There is no junk food. I just wanted to put that in there.
Thanks, Big O.
Thank you.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN. Hey, we're giving away those Hawks tickets at 720. We're going to give away these Hawks tickets in just a couple of seconds here, so stay tuned for that. Got a pair of tickets for Friday's game to give away. Nick DiGiulio in for Steve Cochran. Now, as you know, the breaking news story and the big news story of the breaking moments right now, early in the morning we got news that North Korea claims that they have successfully tested a hydrogen bomb. And this obviously is of great concern. International reporter for ABC, Matthew McGarry, is with us. Matthew, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. North Korea's announcement that it has successfully tested a hydrogen bomb is being met with global condemnation this morning. What needs to be determined is if this test actually took place. North Korea is claiming that they successfully tested a hydrogen bomb. If this is true, it would signify a major upgrade to North Korea's nuclear capability, since a hydrogen bomb is significantly more powerful than an atomic bomb. Scientists say it can be up to 1,000 times more powerful than the kind of bomb dropped on Japan in World War II.
Wow, that is obviously significant. And the reaction has, you know, this is not the first time that they have claimed to have tested a hydrogen bomb. Is this the first time they've claimed to have actually successfully tested a hydrogen bomb?
This is the first time that they've claimed to have tested a hydrogen bomb.
Right.
This would be the fourth time that they've claimed to have tested some kind of nuclear device, the first time being in 2006 when they said that they successfully tested a nuclear bomb. Now, keep in mind that nobody knows for sure if they even have a nuclear bomb, and the United States is quite skeptical that they actually have one that works, but they claim that they have them, and they make threats, and from time to time they threaten to use them against the outside world. So these are threats that have to be taken seriously. So in response to today's news, the United States and Japan have called for an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council this morning in New York to discuss a course of action in response to the claims. South Korea, as you can imagine, is saying that the testing is a provocation. And even China, interestingly enough, which is North Korea's staunchest ally, was caught seemingly entirely off guard by this, saying that they were not notified that the test would take place. And Beijing this morning is saying that they are entirely opposed to this kind of testing.
Matt, if in fact it is proven that they did this and the test was successful, what are the UN's options? They can't just go in and start disarming them, but what options does the United Nations have at this point?
Well, the truth of the matter is their only options are further sanctions. I mean, they could take it to the extreme. They could invade North Korea. They could bring a military action. But that is very, very unlikely to happen. What's very likely to happen is that they will impose more sanctions against a country that's already an isolated nation. And as we know in the past, that sanctions have crippled the people of North Korea, but not seemingly the government. But they have to take this seriously. NATO is saying that this hydrogen bomb testing undermines international security. People are very concerned. And what's at the heart of the matter here is that If they have indeed tested successfully a hydrogen device, it would mean that they could make that small enough to fit into the top of an intercontinental ballistic missile. So instead of having to deliver this device by airplane, like in the past with atomic bombs, a hydrogen bomb can be made very powerful, very small, and those missiles can reach the mainland U.S., they can reach China, they can reach Russia. So even North Korea's staunchest allies saying they were not notified of this testing. They're very concerned. They're wondering why North Korea is doing this or claiming to have done this. So everyone's very concerned. They're going to have to take this extremely seriously.
How significant, Matt, is Beijing's reaction to this?
Well, it's very significant, and it's very interesting to see how these diplomatic communiques are worded. In the past, the reason that the West has had so much difficulty in dealing with North Korea is that China always stood behind North Korea, always opposed any kind of serious sanctions that wanted to be passed, that they wanted to pass in the UN Security Council. So this morning that Beijing is condemning this action is very significant. Some people even speculating that this is signifying a new rift opening up between North Korea and China. China saying that they're threatened by this action and they won't stand for it.
Matt, okay, but any action that the UN does decide to take, whether it be sanctions or something more drastic, will North Korea care? I mean, they seem to be just defiant in proceeding with these tests.
It's a very bizarre country. It's a bizarre regime headed by Kim Jong-un. He and his father and before him and the grandfather before them have made a very successful dynasty out of creating an isolationist country, creating a paranoid feeling amongst their people, and trying to throw their weight around on the world stage, if you will, by announcing that they have these nuclear weapons, announcing that they intend to use them at any time, and threatening the outside world. Whether or not it's true, I guess, doesn't really matter at the end of the day. People have to be concerned about these kinds of threats, and they have to take them seriously and try and do something about it.
Kim Jong-un, in his New Year's speech, said he's ready for war. Again, being defiant, but then you get, of course, those from the West saying, how come we can't just go in and do what we need to do and disarm them? Or, you know, you get the extremists saying, just blow them away.
It seems like every year now there's some sort of event, some sort of threats from Pyongyang, and there are annual military exercises being held in South Korea, which are seemingly becoming an annual threat, from North Korea. So, you know, people are getting used to these kind of provocations, but if North Korea truly has no allies left in the world, it could be interesting to see what would happen. I guess, you know, you might see some military action. As I said, that's highly unlikely at this stage. But I think people are going to get to the limits of their patience, and they're going to have to deal more directly with Kim Jong-un. And, this is going to start the ball rolling. This morning's United Nations Security Council meetings are going to be very heated. The discussion, you can guarantee, is going to be very heated against North Korea.
Okay. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. Matt McGarry from ABC News. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you. You too.
All right. And we've got, you know, the latest on this is it's still very early on this. Nobody knows exactly what the next steps are and whether or not it was really a hydrogen bomb yet. All of this stuff, we're very early on this, but we're covering it. And we'll have more later on the show as well. But the big story, North Korea claims to successfully tested a hydrogen bomb. And we'll give you the latest on that this morning.
We are the only advanced country on Earth that sees this kind of mass violence erupt with this kind of frequency. It doesn't happen in other advanced countries.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Morning, everyone, on this Wednesday morning, 6th of January, 2016. And I'm Nick DiGilio. I'm filling in for Steve Cochran, who's off on a covert mission that we don't know anything about. So we can't say anything. Can't give you the details on where he is. But he'll be back tomorrow. I'm filling in, and we are in the Allstate Showcase studio here. And as you just heard, that was a portion of President Obama's speech from yesterday. And Andrea, you were saying that you guys were watching it upstairs in the newsroom.
Yeah, we were watching the speech, and when the father of one of the Sandy Hook children, one of the Sandy Hook victims, introduced the president, when Obama was referring to him, he started to cry, and we looked over, and it was just a very raw, you know, I say unplanned.
And sincere.
And sincere event, yeah. And we looked over and said, wait, he's tearing up. Wait, he's starting to cry. It was just a very pure moment, I thought.
Well, Karen Travers from ABC is joining us right now to talk about the speech itself and the reaction to both the executive actions and to the way the speech was given and how people reacted to how emotional President Obama became during that. Karen from ABC. Karen, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
How are you?
I'm great.
You personally, what was your reaction when you watched the speech?
Yeah, it was striking to see the president get so emotional like that. You know, the president, after the Oregon Community College shooting, he was visibly angry. He was visibly frustrated. And we know now that that's when he tasked his staff to come up with ways that he could take action on gun control without involving Congress, to do something on his own through executive action. And yesterday, we saw a different emotion. I mean, that was, it seemed to me, genuine sadness. And when he started tearing up, he was speaking about the young victims of gun violence, specifically the Sandy Hook elementary school kids. And he said, just thinking about them makes me so angry. And he also said, we have to remember that this is happening every day in his hometown of Chicago.
Right.
He said, we have to remember those victims and their families too, not just the big stories that we hear about when it's a large-scale shooting massacre. But I thought it was striking. I also thought it was interesting. You know, it's, I guess, just a part of being in politics that many, when you went through social media, were criticizing the president, saying it was political theater, it was just a stunt. You know, not getting into the partisan nature of anything, I don't know how you can say that a father of two talking about first graders who are gunned down in their school, how you can say that that was planned, yeah, and that he did that on command.
No, I agree. I'm with you, Karen. It was, however, kind of, I've never really seen a president give a speech and react that way. It was a little unprecedented for me.
It was, and it certainly was for President Obama. I mean, I covered the Bush White House as well, and President Bush would well up, especially when he was talking about military families. You'd see some tears in his eyes. But President Obama holds his cool. You know, that's just kind of his thing when he's giving speeches. It's rare to see him change his temperature too much. And yesterday, I think, just shows how frustrated he's been on this issue. And he's got a year left in office, and he wants to put his stamp on something. And his staff has decided this is an issue that they want to make a priority.
You know, he made that a point in the speech, too. He says, hey, look, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm off the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not, I'm not trying to gain any points here. I'm off the ballot. So I think that added to, you know, some people thinking it was real, as opposed to, but I find it really interesting, Karen, and you know, you cover this stuff regularly. With the advent of the popularity of social media, to me, the speech should have been, the reaction should have been about what he proposed to change. It should have been about the executive action. It should have been about how important that was and whether or not, you know, it was constitutional and so on and so forth. Then it became about whether or not the crying was real.
Right.
And that just seems to me, that's why people need to, you know, be very careful about what they read on social media. And that's not the point of what that speech was about.
Right. And it's an easy target, you know, for social media. It's perfect for social media just to start ranting about that. And I also think it's important to remember that what we see on our timeline in social media isn't what all of America is thinking. You know, I think here in Washington especially, we get into that little bit of a tunnel of everybody's talking about something. Well, no, that's just who we follow, and we all follow each other, and that tends to be that echo chamber here. But, you know, I think also the reaction on the presidential campaign trail, the reaction on Capitol Hill, very much focused on how the president was doing this action on gun control, not necessarily what he was doing, because the poll numbers show that the president overwhelmingly has the support of the American public. 85% of Americans, yeah, say they support stricter background checks. That means at private gun shows, gun sales, gun shows, online sales. So the White House certainly feels that they have the legal authority and they have public support. And that's why you see Republican leaders saying, we're upset with how he's doing this by cutting us out of the process.
Karen, it is significant. That's a great point. Just a follow-up. Significant for any president, especially this president, to take executive action or to, you know, to exercise this type of power. But this, again, seems a very small step to closing a loophole, which many are saying this is just common sense gun legislation.
Right. And you can even argue it's not closing it. It's narrowing it, too. And then these are guidelines that are already on the books at the ATF, but that they were perhaps deliberately vague and murky as to who qualifies as a gun dealer. And yesterday, the White House didn't give too much numerative definition. You know, if you sell 10 guns a month, does that make you a gun dealer or 1,000? They didn't put a number on it. So that definition is much more expansive now, and that means you will have to apply for a federal license. And when you have that federal license, you have to do the background checks. And as you say, executive actions, it's not the preferred route. The White House would, of course, say they'd rather do this with Congress. But as they say, they feel that they haven't gotten anywhere with them.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking a little bit earlier about how, you know, there if you want to spin it, everybody is saying, oh, you know, President Obama is using executive action. But in fact, he hasn't used it that much, or executive orders. He hasn't used it that much. And we were talking earlier about how often, like, FDR used it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a chart that I looked at yesterday that measured how many times executive orders or actions were used by presidents, and Obama's lower than Clinton.
Yeah, and I think it's the what he's decided to use them on. Gun control, immigration. Two hugely controversial issues here in Washington, where you know you're going to get pushback by doing it this way. It's again, it's not the what, it's the how. And, you know, I think when you look at how the immigration executive actions have gone through, they're still tied up in court. I mean, they could end up before the Supreme Court. And it doesn't seem from legal people we've talked to that this would go that far. But certainly there'll be court challenges to these executive actions and pushback on Capitol Hill through legislative means. That's all going to outlast the president in office.
Yeah.
This is going to still be going in 2017.
Yeah. Now, Karen, let me ask you, in your expert opinion as to covering all of this stuff, how much is this going to alter the campaigns of Jeb Bush and Rubio and Trump and all those guys?
You know, I think one of the analysts that we have here at ABC put it well, that saying that this is something that's going to be a very big topic maybe during the primary season. You know, Democrats know that this can rally their voters, and Republicans know that they can mention infringement on Second Amendment and that rallies theirs. But whether or not it ends up being a general election conversation, maybe not, because as we say, background checks are pretty universally supported. I mean, when do we get something that 85% of Americans say they agree on anything?
Right.
Nothing. So I think it maybe would fade by then. And I would guess that Congress isn't going to be addressing it during their own re-election season. So it just will fade from the headlines.
Okay. All right. Karen Travers from ABC. Thanks so much for joining us about this topic, and have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Take care. There's Karen Travers from ABC. It was a pretty amazing speech to watch, just in terms of the emotion, whether you think it's genuine or not. I had never really seen a president get that emotional.
I haven't either. Well, except for George W. Bush, who teared up, or John Boehner, who teared up quite often. But
true.
You know what? I'm glad you brought up that chart, too, because that's a really good indicator just in general, because people are saying, well, how often, you know, does a president grant or use the power of executive action? Lincoln, 11. You mentioned FDR. Almost 300.
Off the charts.
Off the charts, literally.
And everybody was talking about, but Clinton used it more than almost double, I think.
Yeah, Clinton was 45, W 36, and Obama 33.
Right.
So, but that's, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because that's a good indicator.
It is. Take
interesting
a look, take
indicator.
A look at that. Yeah. It's online, so it's got to be true.
There you go. Oh.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran is not here today. I am. And we're going to be talking after 8 o'clock. Normally, we have Dean Richards with us. But where's Dean? Is he on that? He's on the covert mission with Cochran, right?
Apparently so, yes. I'm not sure where the great Dean Richards is, but off today and through the rest of the week. I think he's traveling.
Okay. Dean is traveling.
Probably for work, though.
I would imagine so.
As always,
With Dean. And so Dean actually unveiled, I believe this morning, he unveiled his best movies of the year list. At some point. So I'm going to do that after 8 o'clock. I'll tell you what my favorite movies of the year are, and we'll talk a little bit about that since we normally talk entertainment with Dean in that segment anyway. So I'll give you my, in case you didn't listen on my overnight show or you haven't checked out the podcast, which is available on WGNRadio.com, I will give you my top 20 movies of the year, the best. So that'll be coming up. We have a text question out there. What is your favorite junk food? What junk food do you love to eat? Guilty pleasure stuff that you love to shove in your face. Now, everybody here on the show, not me, but everybody here on the show is doing a New Year's resolution, trying to eat better or be healthier. And I have a headline here from a story saying that eating in front of a mirror can make junk food less delicious. And I'll give you the details on that in a little bit. But here are some texts that have been coming in. And you guys and your favorite junk foods. And did we get? No, we didn't get to Mary yet. Mary, what was the one for you? What was your favorite sort of? Is it the bullseyes?
No, I'm chips, kettle chips. I'm terrible. Okay. I don't do the dip like Andrea, but kettle chips. I can't stop eating.
Okay,
them.
Kev.
Yeah, I'm more of the salty, savory.
Yeah.
Instead of the sweet, but I agree, chips and dip. But pizza. Man, I could eat pizza every meal of the day.
Mm, okay. And we did discover off the air that Dave's junk food would be pizza.
Would be pizza.
Yeah. But, of course, it would be something like, you know, spinach pizza.
Not spinach, but like a margarita pizza.
Right.
Of course.
You're a crazy man.
There goes the drinking
kale pizza
theme again.
I don't think pizza's very bad. It's not that bad for you
guys.
Really? Well, it depends.
I think it depends. Much
you
of
can
it
really
you
make it.
You
put
how much of it you eat. I have four pizzas a day, so I think I'm fine.
You put a pound of salt on there, it might taste better.
Better.
I don't do
depends
that.
On where you
gotta,
you're ordering it
gotta
from.
You got to mask the taste of the kale somehow.
Oh, you're talking about kale?
Oh, talking about kale pizza.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've never had kale pizza. Have
I haven't
had kale
either.
Pizza?
I have not.
Spinach
no.
pizza's
I've
good.
I've had spinach pizza.
Yeah.
Spinach pizza.
A 815 area code says, all caps, I love Charleston Chews.
Okay.
You know what? I like those too, but I broke a tooth on those. If yeah. You know, if you put them in the freezer,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they get really hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mark that one down.
There you go.
Kev.
Thanks.
They get really hard. Mark that one down for Straight Out of Context.
The candy.
Yeah. Yes. Make that clear. By the way, I just want to mention for those of you who listen to my show on a regular basis, Straight Out of Context will be back Friday morning. It's one of our regular segments. That's where you listen to this radio station 24 hours a day. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. I need all the content I can get. And luckily, everybody at this radio station is filthy.
It's funny the stuff that does appear on there, because I never thought I'd appear on there.
Oh, come on. Andrea, you're on weekly.
I know.
So anytime somebody says something that sounds dirty, jot that down and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com, and we'll return with that on Friday morning.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Hi, how you doing? Nick DiGilio, that's me. I'm in for Steve Cochran, who's off on a covert mission. But he'll be back tomorrow, and I'll be back to my regular time slot tomorrow morning as well from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. By the way, this is the 8 o'clock hour. It's sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. Thank you, Wintrust. Now, Dean Richards normally joins us in this segment, in this half hour, to talk entertainment and all that cool stuff. But he is traveling abroad or something. He's doing something. And by the way, the Dean Richards segments are always sponsored by the Captain James L. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. So we thank them. But Dean, we were talking yesterday about the Johnny Carson reruns on Antenna TV, which are just spectacular. And he was talking about the worst movies that he saw. So I have my list of the best movies on my list.
Best movies of 2015.
The best movies of 2015. Okay. So let me. I picked 20. So I'll start with 20 and work my way up, and you guys can just jump in at any time if you saw any of them. Number 20 is 99 Homes, which is with Michael Shannon and Alan Garfield.
I'm going to watch that. I haven't seen it.
Really, really great. Good. And Michael Shannon, great Chicago actor, going to be nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
He can play any
he's
role.
He's phenomenal.
And people going, Michael Shannon, just Google him, and you'll go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff. The great thing about Michael Shannon, he's a great Chicagoan. The guy has been nominated for an Academy Award. He makes big-budget movies. He was a villain in a Superman movie. So he goes from independent to big movies, and he always comes back here to Red Orchid Theater, which is a small storefront theater here in Chicago. He doesn't get paid. It holds 70 seats, and he does shows here. He comes back here to Chicago to do theater. The guy rules. Number 19, a lot of people saw The Big Short. Yeah.
Love the Big Short.
19.
Yeah, really liked it.
On my best of list. Mary, you saw that one too, right?
Nope.
Oh. I saw
I haven't even heard
movie.
Of the first one you said.
99 Homes?
Yeah, I'm okay. So terrible.
What did you say, Dave? I thought you said something. I'm sorry.
No, I liked it. Yeah, that's okay. All I said.
18, and this is a shocker to anybody who knows me. Number 18 on my best of list, Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I'm surprised it wouldn't be higher.
Well, it's
hey for Nick, that's pretty good.
Exactly,
okay,
the
that's
fact
true,
that it's
yeah.
even on my list.
That's yeah, true. And your Star Wars. And your story. You want to talk about crying? Your story about how you were sitting in the theater and you started to get excited. That made me tear
well,
up.
Well, you can't help it. You know, I mean, people love these movies. They really do. And it was, you know, it was infectious. Number where am I at now? We're 17. Yeah, 17. No, 16. 17. 17 is Creed.
Oh, I liked
which
Creed.
I've seen twice.
I did. Did you guys see that?
I'm going to see it, yeah.
It was so good. And you think Stallone will get a supporting actor nomination?
Yeah, he'll get nominated. I think he should win. I don't know if he's going to win, but he'll get nominated.
God, I love that movie.
The guy who I think will win, though, we talked yesterday, Dave, about Mark Rylance in Bridge of Spies.
Yeah.
I think he's the front runner. He's terrific. He's the front runner. Yeah. Number 16 is Room, which is the movie about the little boy. Who has never lived outside of this room where he and his mother had been held captive.
Yeah. I read the book, and I really want to see the movie.
I've not read the book. The movie's tremendous.
The book was awesome.
Is it hard to watch?
The first 40 minutes is pretty tough.
Okay. It's hard to read, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's great. The payoff is great.
And is it based on a true story?
No.
Okay. But similar, because we have had stories in the news similar
to this
that.
It's a pretty extraordinary. It's a pretty extraordinary movie. We got to get to the traffic here, Mayor. Really quickly, there's a scene in the, and I'm not giving anything away because they show this in the trailer in the movie Room, which is one of the best films of the year. How incredibly tense is the scene where they where she sends the kid out to escape from the room? Is it like incredibly tense
in the book?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's insane.
It's
in
a page turner. Yeah,
it's insane in the movie, Mary. I mean, just like, oh.
You can sense her fear so
oh,
well.
Oh, man. So you should see that one, Mayor.
I will.
Okay. Shake it like a Polaroid picture, Maximus.
That's right. Hey, y'all.
Shake it, shake it, shake it. Remember back in 2003 when you could not turn on a radio or go into a bar and not hear this song 8,000 times?
Hey, y'all.
Love it, though. Do love it. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Normally, Dean Richards is here doing some entertainment stuff, but he's running around, I don't know, naked somewhere. So
that might be true.
I was going through my list of the best movies of the year, and I'm up to number 15 on my best of 2015. For people who want to hear my buddies Colin Suter and Eric Childress, other movie critics that I work with every Monday morning on my show, you want to hear us unveil our top 20 movies each. It's a podcast available at WGNradio.com, and we have a direct-to-podcast special because we went really long that morning. So we ended up doing a bunch of subcategories and talking at length because this is the first time since 2003 that all three of us picked the same number one movie of the year, so we talk about that as well. So that's all available on podcast. But number 15 on my list is a movie that Dave and I were talking about a little bit off the air. Number 15 on my list is Brooklyn, which you just watched.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A really nice. Sweet movie.
Love story.
Really lovely and a great performance by Saoirse Ronan, who will definitely be nominated. Number 14 is It Follows. It Follows is a horror movie about... it's a movie about a young woman who has sex with a guy, and he passes on to her this curse where someone is following you. And in order to get rid of this, this person or this thing that's following you, you have to pass it on to someone else by having sex with them.
Oh, jeez.
I remember the previews for that.
It is.
And I was like, I'm never watching that.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal and creepy and scary.
Check that one out. It's awesome.
Number 13 is Spotlight. Maximus is very upset that I have it so low on the list.
I'm with Maximus.
It's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
I completely agree.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. But I think it's only one better than It Follows, the movie.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
I know. So everybody knows about Spotlight. Great film. Number 12 is a movie that not a lot of people... I have three horror movies in my bottom 15 here. The next one is called Queen of Earth. Queen of Earth stars Elizabeth Moss, that people know from Mad Men. And I think it's the best actress performance of the year. I think it's the best female performance of the year. She plays this girl who is quite mentally disturbed. She gets dumped by her boyfriend, has a horrible time, and decides to go off with her childhood friend to the lake house that her childhood friend grew up in for a relaxing weekend. And that's not what happens. It is a very twisted, very dark, very messed up movie.
And every time Lake House is in a description of a movie,
you know
away.
Something bad's going to happen. Yeah. Nothing good can happen at a lake house.
No.
So that's a very creepy, very strange movie that's inspired by movies like Repulsion and Rosemary's Baby. It has that kind of weird 70s paranoia to it. Number 11 is another horror movie called Goodnight Mommy, one of the most twisted movies I've ever seen and one of my favorite of the year. It's a German film about these two twins, these kids, nine-year-old twins, whose mother goes off to have reconstructive surgery. And when she comes back with bandages in her face, she's completely covered. They start thinking that maybe it's not their mom, that she's been replaced. So they start doing some really creepy stuff.
Is it the mom?
I'm not going to tell you.
I do want to see that.
I've seen it twice. It is. It will freak you out. It will make your skin crawl. Let me just say this. The second time I saw this movie in the theater was at the Music Box. And I was sitting in the theater, and there was a group of people sitting a couple of rows behind me, and there was one guy that was particularly vocal, there are some horrible things that happened in this movie, some really twisted, crazy, horrible things, which of course is why I loved it. But at some point in the movie, it just got to the point where the guy couldn't take it anymore, and he just started going, "Oh hell no, oh hell no," and he said it about 50 times during the course of the movie, so it freaked this guy out completely. That's number 11. Number 10. My top 10 best is Joy, which is a movie that Andrea just saw.
I just saw that last night. Yeah. I did like it very much, although I like Spotlight better. I think that should be a little higher than Joy.
Well,
Joy was good.
Most people liked Spotlight more than I did.
You know what? I was surprised that I liked Joy because I went in thinking, oh.
It's a movie about a woman who invents a mop.
Right.
And it's great.
But it's a wonderful, it's just an inspirational story, and Jennifer Lawrence can play anything.
Okay. Number 9, I'll fly through these. Number 9, Anomalisa, which is a very strange animated film that's coming out this weekend. Number 8 is Mississippi Grind, a great independent movie about two gamblers on a road trip. Number 7, Inside Out, one of the best Pixar movies probably since Up. If you've not seen it, you got kids, Inside Out, it's available on DVD now. A wonderful film. Number 6, an ultra-low-budget movie called James White, about a young 20-something guy who's self-destructive. His mother is diagnosed with cancer, and he has to care for her. Very uplifting, happy movie. Number 5 is an insane movie called White God, which is about a world in which dogs are outlawed. And a little girl's breed dog gets taken away from her. And then the dogs have an uprising, and they go after the people. And the movie was shot with real dogs. It is no CGI. It's real dogs. There's stuff in this movie I've never seen like it in my life. It's called White God, and a film from Austria. Number 4 is The Walk, the most unbelievably underrated movie of the year. That's the one that Robert Zemeckis made about the guy in real life who put the tightrope between the two twin towers and walked between the two of them. An incredible movie. Number 3 is The Revenant, which comes out this Friday with Leonardo DiCaprio. One of the most intense and crazy survival movies I've ever
seen.
Not
for the squeamish?
No, there's a 5.5-minute bear mall sequence that I've never seen anything like it.
Does Leo finally win?
Yeah, Leo kicks the bear's ass.
No.
Oh, does he win the Academy Award?
Yes.
It looks that way, yes.
Okay.
No, really?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I saw it.
Leonardo DiCaprio is one of these guys who should have won an Oscar 15, 20 years
He's
ago.
He's like Susan Lucci.
He's like Paul Newman. Yeah. Wasn't he nominated 14
he
times?
He finally won for The Color
of Money.
Which is a good movie, but not the kind of movie you should have won. He should have won for The Verdict.
The Verdict, absolutely.
Yeah. And then number 2 on my list is The Hateful Eight, Quentin Tarantino's amazing new movie. If you can see it in 70mm, do it. Extraordinary movie. But number 1, by far, a movie I saw 27 times.
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
That's right, baby. Mad Max Fury Road. And it was the first time all three of us on the overnight show movie reviews agreed on the best movie of the year. All three of us picked it. So Mad Max Fury Road, which is available on DVD. Those are my picks, and Dean's picks you can actually check out elsewhere. All right? All right, cool. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, filling in for Steve Cochran. He'll be back tomorrow morning, and I'll be back to my regular shift for your overnight morning show from 2 to 5 a.m. You know, the Hawks play Pittsburgh tonight. They played Pittsburgh last night. And coming up after the 9 o'clock news, we have a native Pittsburghian. Is it
Pittsburgher?
Is it a Pittsburgher?
I don't know. Good question.
He's from the Berg.
Ask him.
Billy Gardell is going to be with us. He is the star of Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
And they have their big premiere of their final season. 6 years that show's been on. He and Melissa McCarthy. So we're going to have him on. We'll talk about that. But he's from Pittsburgh, so we're going to have to make
but
sure.
But isn't the show set in Chicago?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough interview for me.
It will be, yes.
I will say this, though. He is the host of Monopoly Millionaires Club. Have you ever seen Monopoly Millionaires Club?
Yeah.
I love it.
On WGN-TV.
On WGN-TV. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
I've never seen that.
It's
with lottery winners.
It's lottery
right?
winners, and they play all these cool Monopoly games. It's awesome. And, you know, obviously he's going to want to talk about Mike and Molly, but I'm going to want to talk about the Monopoly game for the entire time I talk to the guy. But anyway, that's coming up after 9 o'clock. And, Andrea, talk about Bella Gandhi and what's going to happen there.
Well,
this will be coming up after 9:30.
This is after 9:30. This is the busiest dating week of the year. The first week of the new year is the biggest online dating week of the year. So
do we know why?
We're going to find out.
That's a tease.
That's a good tease.
A tease,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I think that's the fourth tease in 2 days.
See what I'm talking about? See what happens when I host this show?
Professional.
Uh-huh. Ooh, that's right.
What's the biggest week in health clubs, right?
We're about to find it. No, I don't know. I'm sure that is probably
somehow
true, too.
Connected.
That might have something to do with dating. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe you can meet someone at the health club? I don't know. Bella's going to be here. She's the founder and president of Smart Dating Academy. She's a great friend of the program. And she was on the Today Show over the weekend as well. She's kind of making the media rounds. So we're going to have her in to talk about why this is such a busy dating week.
Kev, you might want to jot notes.
Nick, you might want to jot notes.
No, that's not. I'm done. That's not just, even an issue.
I'm just laughing because when they brought up working out and you know the fitness center, Nick was like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no clue
working, well, not only that, working out, fitness center, and dating, all of those things are pretty much done for me.
I wonder if it's a coincidence that Bella's coming in today.
Oh, boy.
She was asking a lot of questions about you, Nick.
She was?
No.
Yeah, so she's bound to be disappointed, trust me. story of my life. So anyway, that's coming up. But I do want to mention this. You know, we just played Chelsea Dagger, and there's this great Hawks trip off to Minneapolis that I want to tell you about. So hey, Blackhawks fans, listen up. Come with WGN Radio. Spend a hockey-filled three-day weekend away in Minneapolis this February 20th through the 22nd. You'll travel by chartered coach north to the Twin Cities to see the outdoor alumni game at the TCF Bank Stadium on the University of Minnesota campus. Then on Sunday, it's the Chicago Blackhawks facing the Central Division rival Minnesota Wild at the 2016 Coors Light NHL Stadium Series outdoor game. That is going to be really cool. That's going to be really cool. The tour includes accommodations at the Hampton Inn, Minneapolis downtown, steps from restaurants and nightlife to breakfasts and game tickets. Call Sunrise Tour at 800-881-8804. That's 800-881-8804 to book your tour or find pricing and booking information at WGNradio.com/events. February 20th through the 22nd, trip to Minneapolis to check out the stadium series game.
By the way, that is a beautiful stadium up there where the Vikings have been playing there this year.
Mm-hmm.
Their new stadium is being built. The University of Minnesota plays its football games there. It's a great place. I think this is going to be an awful lot of fun.
It's going to be great. And, I mean, the fact that they're playing the Wild is pretty great, too.
Well, there's that, too.
That's a big deal. But, you know, if you've never seen an NHL game outdoors, it's pretty special.
It is.
It really is. It's pretty great. So I would highly recommend calling 800-881-8804 at Sunrise Tours for more information, or just check it out at WGNradio.com/events. Hey, speaking of the Blackhawks, what's
Blackhawks Radio. 720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Hawk
Chicago
Opedia.
We may get a fracas here before it all ends.
A what?
All right, Dave, Hawkopedia, my friend.
You know what they're doing with the All-Star game this year, don't you?
I do.
Okay, so season, the Blackhawks season, exactly at the halfway mark, 41 games down in the 82-game schedule. So that means the All-Star game isn't far off. This year's game will be played in Nashville the weekend of the 30th and 31st of January. This year, they've got a new format. It'll be a three-game, three-on-three tournament. There will be four teams, one from each division. The two teams representing the Eastern Conference will play each other. Same with the two teams from the West, with the winners meeting for the championship. A few days ago, the first four players were announced as chosen by fan balloting, and they'll be the team captains.
Okay.
I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, I'm
you're sorry. Foreshadowing. Patrick Kane of the Blackhawks will be the captain for the Central. Jaromir Jagr of Florida, Alex Ovechkin are the captains of the two Eastern Conference teams. And former Blackhawk John Scott of Arizona is also announced as a captain.
I am stunned. I'm absolutely stunned.
This is why fans should not be able to vote.
It's
or
like,
why they should
it's
be
like
to
Sanjaya
vote.
On American Idol. Nice guy, though, as we've mentioned before.
Oh, very nice guy.
Incredible guy. One of the nicest Hawks I've ever interviewed. Yeah. I mean,
okay, which of these four? Ovechkin, Jagr, Kane,
Scott.
All right. Well, today the NHL will announce the other 40 players will make up the four-team rosters. Each team will have 11 players, six forwards, three defensemen, and two goaltenders. So 10 more players will be named to each team for the All-Star game later this month. That's our Hawkopedia for today.
Oh, man. That's going to be great. All-Star game is always a lot of fun. The changes are going to be
interesting. Well, I think this will be, if you'd been able to watch the overtime last night, Nick.
Come on now. Come on, Dave. I was watching Roy Scheider die.
I know. This
for 2 hours and all that jazz.
But this three-on-three tournament, I think will be pretty entertaining.
It'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm a fan of the All-Star game. My favorite part, though, of the All-Star weekend are the skills competitions. That's so much
fun. Saturday night.
Saturday night. That's always a blast. Yep. Yeah, morning. Wednesday morning. Hump day. Maximus busting out the jams. A little cult. Evidently, it's 1987, Maximus. Thank you for that.
You got it.
Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran. Okay, everybody has made some sort of New Year's resolution here on the show. I'm not a part of this show on a regular basis, so I've made no resolutions. I've done enough in the past year in terms of resolution, so I'm fine with 2016. But we were talking a little bit about your favorite junk food and what really is your weakness. And we've got a 262 area code. If you want to text in yours, it's 312-981-7200, your favorite crazy junk food that makes you nuts. Soft shell taco supreme with extra sour cream from Taco Bell.
Oh.
Good stuff, huh? And you can't have one of those,
no.
Kev.
At least for 30 days.
At least. 815, Mary. Chocolate chip cookies and milk.
Yeah.
And then they put an emoji next to it with a bottle of milk. Evidently living in the past, there's a bottle of milk, which they think they took off of their back porch, and a cookie. Chocolate with caramel and sea salt. See, I like that.
Ooh, yummy.
Like the salty and the sweet.
Sweet.
And then a good apple pie with vanilla ice cream, someone says.
I'm not a pie fan. I don't like pie.
You want to mark that down, Kev?
Stop it. No, I'm not. I don't think fruit belongs in pie.
What?
I mean,
apple
I don't think fruit belongs in dessert. Like, why would you
put... Why, because it's good for you?
Yeah, like an apple or a cherry or blueberries, those shouldn't be in dessert.
What are you talking about?
It should just be like chocolate cream.
No, then you can just get a cake. Just get cake if you want the chocolate and stuff. Pies are unbelievable.
Pies are awesome. Awful.
Apple pie with vanilla ice cream.
Andrea.
Gooey yummy. Jelly. Yeah.
Have you boozed before the show? Have you given up
no,
booze?
No, I gave it up, remember?
You gave up booze. Maybe gave you should go back to it.
pass it over.
8-1. God, Dave! How did you get the reputation as that I was the alcoholic on the show?
Well, Steve needed somebody.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, I'm just being a team player.
Just being a team player. I'll take the alcoholic bullet for everybody.
Where there's smoke.
847 area code says, donuts, donuts, donuts. I love donuts.
Yeah, those are good.
Evidently, they like donuts. All right, the story that inspired this The headline reads, "Eating in front of a mirror can make junk food less delicious." Nutrition science is a complicated, ever-changing animal, people. Some experts believe fat is the enemy, while others suggest eating more of it. The same is true for carbs, alcohol, and caffeine. It's hard to know what's healthy and what's not. There are some exceptions. A cheeseburger, for example, a piece of chocolate cake, bag of potato chips, bowl of ice cream. We eat these foods knowing that they're not good for us. Scientists have something called objective self-awareness. It's an objective self-awareness theory, which basically says that seeing yourself, whether physically in a mirror or a photograph or mentally through writing, forces you to think about what you're doing and why. So basically, if you were to, Kev, if you were to break your New Year's resolution, you know, like if I came over to your place with five sacks full of Taco Bell.
Right. When you say my place, you mean my parents' house?
Yes, your parents' house.
Okay.
And I waved the bag under your nose. I opened it up and said, here, take a big whiff, yes. My friend.
Yes.
And then you were like, screw it.
Right.
Screw Cochran and his show. I'm eating fast food.
Okay.
All right. But then I bust out a big mirror. And I put it right in front of you. And I say, you have to look into this mirror as you scarf that stuff into your face. Now, what's going to happen, according to these scientists, is you're going to feel terrible, it's going to look bad, and you will stop eating the crap.
Okay. So I should carry a mirror around or something?
That's what my thing is right now. So if you guys ever, Mary, if you ever feel the need, if Mary ever feels the need to like somebody comes in with a big batch of warm, gooey chocolate chip cookies, which we have already discussed are now on that list, that you, the no-fly zone list for Mary, someone, you know, brings in a night, then just bust out a mirror and put it in front of you, and you won't eat them. This is science, by the way.
It's like when you eat
this
Oreos.
This is science.
Yeah.
Did you ever eat Oreos and you get all the stuff in your teeth? The black crumbs?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. In terms of fast food eating, are you do you twist to break apart the Oreo and do the cream filling first, then the cookie?
No, I go for the whole cookie.
What about you?
I dip it in the milk.
I take the top part off, then I eat that, and then I eat the whole bottom.
Okay, you're weird. Well, we've already established that. Dave, you don't eat Oreos. You've never had an Oreo in your life.
No, I've had Oreos.
No, you haven't.
Of course.
They don't have kale Oreos.
No, I haven't always been this way.
Okay, so how do you eat Oreos? Or how did you eat Oreos? Because God forbid you have one now.
Break them apart.
And you scrape off the...
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Maximus?
I just eat the whole cookie.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Wait, why is it weird, though, to break it off and then...
It's too much work.
Yeah, just eat the whole damn thing.
But you taste it then. It's so... It's yeah, but then... Savory.
I like the cookie first. It kind of lays the foundation.
Well, there's two cookies and there's cream in the middle.
I know. I just like the one cookie part and then the cream with the other cookie. Shut up! It's not bad. Why is that bad?
I don't know. You need to go back to drinking, Andrea.
I got to go back to something, right?
How about homemade French fries with Old Bay seasoning? Oh, that's good.
I love Old Bay
seasoning. I love Old Bay seasoning. I put Old Bay seasoning on a Twinkie. I don't care.
Now, see, that would be
it would
strange.
Be
that,
okay, that's weird.
Old Bay
that's
is good,
gross.
Man. Old Bay, oh, that stuff is good. All right, 847 says, Krispy Kreme original glazed donuts. Steve the limo driver says that. Okay. 312 area code. Dave, here for you. Bourbon balls.
Yes.
Isn't that your nickname? Wasn't that your morning zoo name, Dave, when you were on a morning zoo?
Yeah, that was
old
it.
Old bourbon balls?
Yeah, that was...
Doesn't Kim Gordon make those?
That was it. I thought those were peanut butter balls.
I believe we found a new nickname for Dave,
right.
Old bourbon balls.
I think she makes
them, believe you're now on the Nick DiGilio, Steve Cochran.
Deflated balls.
There you go.
Deflated bourbon balls.
Nick is hopping on the
Nick,
bandwagon.
I expect it from Steve. I just don't expect
it. I'm just trying to fill the void, man.
Don't worry, the void has been filled.
Yeah.
847 area code says, anything Little Debbie's. Okay. 630 area code, I love Twizzlers. You know, here's what I've noticed about throwing out this text question. And by the way, you can join in here. What weakness do you have? What are the fast food weaknesses you have? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Send your text. I've noticed that people are very emphatic about the way that they're sending the texts. Many exclamation points and lots of caps.
And by the way, John just texted in from the 708. Now I'll really look weird sitting in White Castle by myself holding a mirror.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Just bring a mirror with you wherever you go. The scientists have proven this. It's on the internet. I believe it. Okay. Hey, Nick, Entenmann's chocolate frosted donuts and assorted donuts with 2% milk to wash it. See, he's being healthy with the 2% milk. That's Paul. And then all caps and exclamation points, Cheetos! You know, one of my ex-wives, or no, wait, I didn't marry this one. She was just an ex-girlfriend. She used to eat Cheetos and would love them, you know, and would eat the Cheetos and would let the orange powder accumulate on her fingers until it was like a thick paste.
Oh.
And then scrape it off with her teeth.
That's how attractive.
She would say, oh, it's the best part.
And then he broke up with her.
No, are you kidding me? I was going to marry her after that.
Okay.
That was her best habit.
Bella, help us.
Yeah. Oh, no. Don't help. I'm beyond help. All right. Well, there you go. Send in some more of your fast food junky stuff, and we'll talk about that. It's Nick DiGilio in for Steve Cochran.
You go, what if he's gay? What am I supposed to do? Yell do-over? What do you want me to do? That's my son, either way. That just means I'm going to ballet instead of football. But I tell you what, I'm not changing. I'm going to root at the ballet like I'm at the football game. You call that a pirouette? Get your head in the game. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio filling in for Steve Cochran on this Wednesday morning. Steve will be back tomorrow. And I will be back to my regular show tomorrow morning as well from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. on Your Overnight Guy. There you heard some of the stand-up of Billy Gardell. Billy Gardell is one of the stars of Mike and Molly, which is starting its sixth season tonight at 7:30 on your CBS network. And six seasons. It's amazing. Billy is obviously very excited about this, and so he's with us to talk about that and much more. Billy, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, good morning, man. How are you?
All right, man. Good to talk to you. So you're from Pittsburgh.
I am, Nick. Big Steeler fan. Snuck into the playoffs. Very grateful. Very grateful to get an extra game of football this year.
Are you a Penguins fan?
I go around the horn. I'm Steelers, Penguins, Pirates.
Okay. Now, you know that we beat you. The Hawks beat you last night, and we're playing you again
tonight. Yeah, I know, man. Yeah. I know.
Just wanted to mention that.
But you know what? The Hawks are, you know, they're good. They're a good team, man. They're a good team. And we're still, I'm hoping with this new coach with the Penguins, they're going to find a little bit of a different identity. Yeah. And I think that's what's needed. We're starting to come on as of late. I think we're 4-5 the last nine, but they've started to pick up wins. And. Yeah. You know, we need to find a mental toughness. I think what's happening with our Pens is, you know, we end up having this great year, and then nobody can score in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping this guy is going to change the culture a little bit there because the talent is there.
No, the talent is
– it's got to be in the coaching. You
the
know?
Talent is definitely there. I mean, you guys got some A1 players on your team. There's no question
about
it.
Yeah, absolutely. All so right. I think it's just time to, you know, we need a different kind of culture there, and I'm hoping our new coach is going to do that.
So, it'll be a fun game tonight. We're here in Chicago. The Pens are here, and it'll be cool. So, listen, six seasons of Mike and Molly. Man, oh, man, I can't believe it's been six seasons. Tell me how you got the gig in the first place.
Well, I was actually going to leave L.A., man, about 6 years ago. And, you know, I was out on the road. I hadn't booked anything as far as television goes. And I was away from my family. And I had a, you know, six-year-old at the time, five-year-old at the time. And I just didn't want to miss his life. So I said to a couple buddies back in Pittsburgh, my buddy Randy Bauman, who's on DVE, which is radio back in Pittsburgh, I said, if you have a spot on the morning show, I'll come back and do that. And they said, we'd love to have you, and that way I could be around my family more and not be on the road. And I said, I'm going to ride out one more pilot season. And that's like the three-month period where you try to get on a television show every year and shoot a pilot and hope it gets picked up. And I got six auditions in 3 months, and the last one was Mike and Molly.
Wow.
Literally lightning in a bottle, man. Lightning in a bottle.
That's amazing. Now, was Melissa McCarthy already cast?
No, me and her, we actually auditioned on the same day, which was amazing. and Melissa was like 8 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
So she came in just carrying baby. And, you know, when they line you up before you go to the network, you have to read for the producers, you know, Chuck Lorre. And at the time, our other producer is, and still is currently, Peter Roth of Warner Brothers, who runs Warner Brothers TV.
Right.
So you go in and you read for them, and they pair you up, and then they take their notes on who's going to be where, and you don't know what's going to kind of play out. But I read with the other two Mollies, and then I read with Melissa, and then she read with the other two Mikes, and then she read with me. And she'll tell you the same thing. When we read those words together, it was like immediate. It was like one of those Hollywood things that you hear about and you hope is going to happen to you. But it was like this chemistry that was like, we've been doing this for 10 years. I mean, yeah. It was like right out of the gate we had chemistry. And then my friend Reno Wilson, who plays Carl on the show,
yeah.
We've been friends for 10 years. We met on a show about 10 years ago called Heist that we only lasted about 6 episodes because we were on opposite of American Idol. But we stayed friends, and randomly we ended up playing partners on this show. So everything karmically that could have lined up did.
That's great. You know, and good for you. Yeah. It's got to be really amazing to work with, you know, to have your partner on the show be Melissa McCarthy. I mean, it's got to be something.
She's phenomenal, man. You know, and there was a trust there between us because I've always been good at getting a laugh. But the emotional scenes, you have to really trust that person you're working with, and she always made that a very safe place. And I learned from her, and I certainly learned from the rest of my cast as well. Rondi Reed, who plays my mom, is just a magnificent actress out of Steppenwolf, and Lou Mastillo's off Broadway and Broadway, and Swoozie Kurtz, who's done everything. So we had this collection of people who really just loved the craft and were respectful to each other, and we got closer and closer as the years went on.
Yeah.
And I think it comes through in the episodes. I think you can
tell. Oh, no, you can see it.
We genuinely like each other.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You can see that, man. It comes through in the show. Now, let me ask you this. How completely unbearable was Melissa McCarthy after Bridesmaids came out?
You know what's crazy, dude? She actually, it humbled her.
Yeah?
You know? Melissa is, I can't say enough good things about her, man. And her and I have always, you know, kept the tempo of, you know, we're Midwestern kids. I'm from Pittsburgh. She's from Illinois.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what we hold on to. I always say there was a maturity to our cast before we even started. And so the craziness wasn't there. You know, nobody was 20 and just out of their minds. Because I can see getting this at 20, losing your mind.
Right.
See how that happens, man.
Right.
It's crazy. But at 40, you're like, whew, we got good parking. We're right by the door. Yeah, I ain't got to walk from the structure. That's good stuff. Free coffee, too. And then we really took care of each other, man.
Yeah.
We really, you know, the first time I headlined Vegas in a big hotel, they all flew out to come see that. And her movies, we come to the premieres, and we go to each other's kids' birthday parties. So it goes so much deeper than just going to work with these people. I mean, the last week, we got 3 more to film, and, you know, there's a lot of Irish folks on our set, so there's going to be a lot of tears that last week.
I would imagine. I was just going to say,
very, very grateful for every minute of this.
I was going to say it's got to be bittersweet, because this, for people who might not know, this is the 6th and final season of the show. And
right.
A lot of people
CBS only ordered 13 more, and we got 3 more to film. But, again, man, when a thing like this happens to you in life, you can't walk away from it going, I wanted more. You have to walk away going, you know what, this thing changed everybody's lives.
Yeah.
You got to walk away going, this is the greatest thing in the world. And because of the work we did, everybody's going to end up working again. Do I ever think it'll be as special to me as this one was? No. I don't think I'll ever have a cast with this kind of chemistry again and the kind of feelings I had for these people again, and it was that special moment. And hopefully it'll push everybody into some work everywhere else.
Now, good for you, man. Congratulations on that. Now, I got to mention before we let you get out of here, because I know you're busy today, I got to mention how much I love Monopoly Millionaires Club, man.
Thank you, man.
I love it, dude. You do a great job on that show.
I love it, man. I've been able to give people $1 million 5 times. And to see that happen and to watch the look in their eyes, dude, it is electric. The guy who invented that game, Kevin Velenkoff, he found a way to make Monopoly quick, which is a miracle all in itself. I think there's actually a board game on my dad's kitchen table from 77 that we haven't finished. But he figured out a way to use all those iconic images from the game, the trains and the hotels, and to make it fast and all or nothing. And people are winning huge, huge money, and I love doing it. And it's picked up the pace. We were doing it once a week, and now this year they're going to order it for a daily series, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, good for you. No, it's really great, man. And you know what's good about it? What's fun about it is that you actually are able to inject your personality and your sense of humor into it. I know, like, the game show structure can be a little bit narrow, but we know who you are when you're watching the game, man.
That's the thing. I try to root for them, man, because I tell them all the time, look, I want you to win. It ain't my money. I want you to take them. Take the house. That's good ratings. Beat the house.
Yeah.
It's Vegas, man. Let's beat the house.
Before I let you out of here, Billy, you get on the road much?
I do, man. I'm going out to do a lot of stand-up in February, and then I'm going to write a new hour-long special. That's been overdue, but I haven't had time with everything else that's been going on. So I'm going to take the next 6 months and see what's out there television-wise for me. I want to get away from sitcoms. I want to go into maybe something a little more dramatic and see if I can swim in those waters. And then at the same time, I want to write a new hour for maybe either Netflix or Showtime or find a home somewhere like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting now. The world of television has changed so much, man. You mentioned Netflix. There are so many different avenues to do so many different kinds of things. And, it's wide open.
The kids changed it all. They changed all this. You know, they don't want to wait till Thursday to watch their show. They want to watch it now.
Exactly.
And so what that did was it opened up a bunch of platforms. And I think actually some of the best stuff is being done on those platforms. I mean, Netflix has come up so strong with, like, Bloodline and Narcos and the stand-up specials they've done. And I think cable's pushing the envelope and doing great stuff. I mean, you're getting movie-quality programs on television, which
Agreed.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah, cool. Billy, man, great talking to you, man. You're awesome. Sixth season of...
You guys too, man. Be well.
Okay,
be well,
take care.
Stay chilly and go Penguins.
All right, I let you got that one in there. All right, Billy, take care.
Be well, man.
All right, buddy, see you.
Anybody in the business of selling firearms must get a license and conduct background checks or be subject to criminal prosecution.
We have 1.5 million people with concealed weapon permits in our state, and crime is down.
China and we have a relationship. China is equally concerned about what North Korea is doing. North Korea is a paranoid, isolated nation.
All right. Lots of news happening this morning. Reaction to President Obama's speech. And, of course, North Korea this morning successfully testing a hydrogen bomb. Or so they say.
Right.
And there's been reaction to it. That last one you heard was Bernie Sanders reacting to it. And there's been a lot of reaction to it. And we've got the latest, Andrea, latest that we've heard.
Yeah, the latest now. The UN Security Council has planned, they're calling for an emergency meeting today. Of course, the United States involved with that as well. I think right now, Nick, they're trying to figure out if this actually did happen. It is likely to have happened or some form of testing, some sort of nuclear material. At first, they thought this was an earthquake near the city of Kyeongju in North Korea. That's where their nuclear test site is located. Right. At first, they said it was a 5.1 earthquake. So they thought it was a quake, and in fact, yesterday social media was blowing up, no pun intended, with this quake has struck North Korea, right. The southeastern portion of the country, and then they announced this morning that they have successfully tested their first hydrogen bomb, and this could be catastrophic, chaotic, call it what you will. As USA Today, I think, put it best, calling it a world-startling event. So they're still trying to figure out if this actually happened, if this was, in fact, a hydrogen bomb. This would have been their fourth time that they have tested any sort of nuclear weapon.
Their first hydrogen.
Yeah, they conducted similar nuclear tests in 2006, 2009, and 2013. What's interesting, though, is you ask about the reaction. China, North Korea's staunchest ally.
Complete shock.
They were completely stunned, not pleased, of course. Yet a different reaction from many North Koreans. Their downtown train station in Pyongyang, they had a big broadcast screen. It kind of would be like their Times Square,
right,
or maybe their Union Station. They had a big television screen up there. They were showing their state television saying that, yes, this had in fact happened, and showing images of the testing or the purported testing, and everybody just went crazy, yelling and screaming. They have college students commenting, too. One gave kind of a damning quote. He was telling the AP, if we didn't have powerful nuclear weapons, we'd already have been turned into slaves of the United States. So their reaction, vastly different than that of the international community.
It's very telling and interesting. We were talking earlier with Matt about this, and Matt McGarry, and he said that the reaction from Beijing is big, because that's their staunchest ally.
Absolutely.
And for them to come out and say this is not cool, that's a big difference than some of the other things that North Korea has done in the past.
Yeah, and what'll be interesting too, as you alluded to, is the UN's response to this. Of course, they're having an emergency meeting, but if they did in fact do this, are sanctions enough?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people in the West arguing specifically there should be more done. Go in and forcibly remove these nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other ballgame, though.
It's still only hours old, the story. So it's developing as we go. That's the latest. We always try to keep you updated on the latest, and that is the latest that we have right now on that. Now, the other sound bites that we heard were a part of Obama's speech and then Jeb Bush's reaction to it. And Obama's speech yesterday was polarizing and interesting. And we were talking earlier about the fact that the content of the speech was not really what took off on social media and how people – it was the way the speech was presented. It wasn't so much – whether his ideas and his executive actions were unconstitutional or were or what he was saying was important. It was how he said it that people reacted to.
It was how he said
because
it.
Because he cried.
Right.
And that seems to be the thing that caused the most reaction online.
Yeah. And in fact, when you were – because we expected the executive action. We knew that was going to be coming. Again, it's a very – basic and simple. It's not even, we talked with Karen Travers earlier today, it's not even closing of the loophole. It's more of just a tightening it, if you will. These restrictions, many were already in place, but he's sidestepping Congress, which is a big step as well.
Sure.
Sidestepping Congress to say, you know what, we're going to, I'm enacting this, and this is actually going to happen. And reaction, as you said, all across, you know, party line, our along party lines.
An election year.
Yeah, so. The NRA released a statement this morning saying that his efforts to tighten sales of guns in the United States are ripe for abuse. So, and you'd expect that, you know, and of course, all the Republican presidential candidates saying that if they get in office, this will immediately be overturned.
Right. And you know, you expect the kind of polarizing reaction that you get. But as I said near the beginning of the show, there are times like these when stories like this break when I just don't read the comments. As Dave said earlier, don't scroll down. Mm-hmm. Because you could lose all faith in humanity when you see the kind of idiocy that people post on social media and on comments and things like that. And it goes both ways. I'm not trying to, you know, say the left is better or the right is better. I'm saying that there are a lot of idiots out there who use social media in a ridiculous way. And when you're reading social media, when you're reading stories on social media, always read it with not a grain of salt, but with a ton of salt.
Yeah.
And triple and quadruple check anything and everything, but don't read the comments. I swear, I made the mistake of scrolling down and looking at some of the comments yesterday and just, you know, immediately feeling like the world has ended. Like, I can't even read this stuff anymore.
Read it for what it is and then form your own opinion.
Exactly.
But you don't always have to post.
I mentioned earlier that I had read this headline of this story. And for people who've listened to me for the 30 years I've been on this radio station, they know my politics. I'm on the left. I'm liberal. There's no question about it. But I actually found myself. I read this story that in the headline said reporter or member of Fox News says that Obama used a raw onion to induce tears.
Okay, that's
at the podium.
So false.
Well, then I clicked onto the video. I was like, well, this is insane. So I clicked onto the video and I watched the video. And in the video, the woman who's clearly, you know, she's on Fox News, so she doesn't like Obama. That's clear. But she said someone should check the podium for a raw onion or something.
Yeah,
and
she
it was
said
a throwaway.
Cheek.
It was a tongue in cheek. Yeah. It was a throwaway. So it was a smart aleck line. Now, people who just read the headline suddenly think, oh, well, Fox News is doing it. And then they would post without reading it or looking at the video. And this makes me infuriated because now I actually had to defend Fox News.
Pull that again, Kevin.
Yeah.
Mark the tape.
God. Anyway, so those are the two big stories. The North Korea story is obviously still developing, so we keep your tabs on that. Yeah.
He did it as a fly jam. Come on.
Nice choice there, K-Max.
Love's in the air, man.
Okay.
I knew I smelled something. Nick DiGilio here in for Steve Cochran, who will be back tomorrow, and I'll be back to my regular shift from 2 to 5 a.m. on the overnights. Yes, love is in the air. Evidently, according to Andrea and our next guest, Bella Gandhi, who is the founder of Smart Dating Academy, love is in the air. Now, Andrea, you said to me that this week is the biggest dating week of the year.
Supposedly, yeah, the biggest dating week of the year. Sunday was the biggest online dating day of the year. Bella Gandhi, our great friend. Why is that?
So if you think about it, it's the Sunday right after New Year's Day. The holidays have stopped. The hangovers are over. There's 107 million single adults in this country. It's 43% of the adult population. So, you know, Sunday morning, you're like, hey, should probably make some resolutions. So falling in love for singles is usually in one of the top five resolutions. Dust off your profile. Sunday was the biggest date of the year, with 8:52 p.m. Eastern being the most logged in minute of the year.
Wow.
8:52,
not 8:51, not 8:53.
That's why I couldn't check my email. Tell me, first of all, before we jump into all this stuff, tell everybody about Smart Dating Academy.
So we are a date coaching service that teaches people how to date and identify the right partners, because most of us at home aren't taught how to date or pick the right partner. So we help you figure out your dating patterns, give you the confidence, hold your hand to get back out there, get you on some apps or some sites. We do your pictures, write your profiles, and then stick with you through the process.
All right. What was your personal history of dating? I mean, there has to be something in order for you to start this academy. Something.
It was a little colorful, we'll just say, until I started dating my husband, who I've been married to for almost 19 years at this point.
Wow. Huh? Okay. And you're only 28.
Isn't that shocking? Child bride, right? Child bride. You know, I'm Indian, so we were actually arranged at birth.
All right. Well, so everybody makes resolutions. Lots of people make resolutions in order to find someone for this year. I don't want to be single anymore and all that stuff. What's the best course of action for these people?
Well, number one, you've got to have a plan, right? The reason most people don't keep their resolutions is there's no plan. There's no little daily goals to keep you on course. So for falling in love, you should make a dating plan and say, okay, if I'm going to get online and join this big wave of people, because Match's membership is up 60% until Valentine's Day, get on a site, get the right photos, get the right text, and put 30 minutes into this a day. Okay, that's not a lot. Get off of Facebook for 30 minutes a day. Right. Don't watch
Easier
Netflix for 30
done.
Minutes right. a day. Right. But you can do this, but you got to do something.
Okay.
All right, Bella, best part of Smart Dating Academy and what you guys offer as well, it's that it's not just for 20-somethings or, you know, people just who haven't been married. It's for all ages. And I always find it fascinating, the different dating tools that people are using. Of course, the younger generation using apps and Tinder and sites like that. And then the older, you know, I shouldn't say older, maybe 40-plus, 50-plus using Match and other sites like that.
That's right. So you hit the nails exactly on the head. You could be a dating expert, Andrea. So in your 20s.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Single me.
Dating apps are great for singles in your 20s because they're free. They run off of Facebook. So Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, these are all great apps to be on. When you're more serious in your 30s and 40s, you can use sites like Match at Smart Dating Academy. We average several engagements on a monthly basis, and the bulk of those in that age bracket come from Match.com. Then if you're over 50, be inspired because it's the fastest growing segment on online
That's
dating.
Fantastic.
There you go. There we go.
Love
unfortunately,
is in the air.
Unfortunately, I've sworn off all women. But that's
all women.
Every woman.
Most.
Not
no.
true.
Most.
He,
no,
just
true.
Because he's had two little divorces.
Yeah.
That's fine.
See?
Three times a charm.
No. Not in my world. It's not.
Three strikes, you're out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still in the batter's box waiting. I'm waiting on a curveball right now. So, but that's interesting. That are there reasons why the over 50 is so successful in that regard?
I think the stigma of online dating has reduced. I mean, who doesn't know at this point someone that's met on an online site
right.
or app? Yeah. So while people have fears, especially over 50, you know, I'm not real sure about this whole technology thing. The stigma's gone. And even they're like, okay, my kids have met somebody. So people are getting online in great numbers at this point. Not like putting an ad in the personals.
Do you have some favorite stories from the academy? Do you have like some favorite ones? Obviously, you don't want to give names, but what are some of your favorite moments?
Oh, that's such a good question.
Thank you.
I'm
single
that.
And over 50.
Nice job, Nick.
You know, when people come in and they've lost their spouses unexpectedly and they heal for a couple of years and then they say, you know, I never expected to be in this position, and we help them to get online. I've had clients that are 72 years old fly in from Washington, D.C. Our client base is national. And when they find someone online, which happened to a woman that we worked with, in 3 months, she actually found a great guy that was 75 years old, and they are really, really happy. So for me, you know, the purpose of Smart Dating Academy is to help find love, and I think love exists for everybody on the planet that wants it. So when you do something, you can have it.
Do you think that people, I mean, I know people say, well, you fall in love or you meet someone when you least expect it. Do you think that's true?
I think it's partially true. I think it's mainly misunderstood, though, because what most people take that to mean is, well, it's going to happen when it's supposed to, when I don't expect it, so I'm not going to do anything. What it actually means is I'm really prepared and I'm open to it. But I'm also feeling happy and fulfilled and confident as a human being, so I've got a full life. That's when love will come to you. People want to be with positive, confident, happy people, right? So when you're putting that out there, that's who you're going to get back in your sphere.
Yeah, I mean, for me, because I have so many success stories under my belt. But when I had, because I've had, in my opinion, I've had three really, really major relationships, two of which turned out to be marriage. But all three of them happened when I didn't expect them to happen. So I don't know. But I guess I was open to it.
Yeah.
Now I'm not, unfortunately. But it's interesting.
Bella's new project.
Bella, I don't think you want to hire Nick as a spokesman. Yeah.
He's I've not sworn bitter. Off all women. Most women? No, all women.
All women.
All women.
All women. Forever.
Yeah, all women. So.
No, love exists for you. I don't know. I can feel it.
Ooh. See?
Wow. I've got a good vibe.
She has crazy good vibe. I've known Bella since college, so as we all like to say, from 5 years ago.
Right.
But long time we've been friends, and Bella was always, you were kind of like Cupid. You know, you had these feelings about, you know, this one and that one, and we're like, what? No.
My college roommate.
That's right.
Who was in our sorority.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah. So I lived with her and met a guy at a fraternity party that is friends with my now husband. And I said to them, I'm like, you're going to marry my roommate. And he's like,
she did.
He's like, that's my girlfriend over there. Like, who are you? Like,
and your roommate, who's a wonderful girl, was a little shy.
Yeah, super shy. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And then 5 years later, when I got engaged and we had an engagement party, the two of them met back up again. Their first date was a week before our wedding, which we didn't even know about. They didn't even tell us. So at my own wedding, I see these two super slow dancing on the dance floor. My husband and I are like, what is that all about? And they said, we didn't tell you, but our first date was last Saturday. Then they went out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they've been married for 17 years.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all you need to know right there.
It was crazy. I was like, you two were going to get married. They're like, wow, that's insane.
It was kind of
cool.
It was
crazy. Yeah. That's when I knew I had to do this.
That's when you knew you had to be the founder of Smart Dating Academy. How can people get involved in Smart Dating Academy?
So you can check out our website, smartdatingacademy.com. Right now we have lots of great information. We have a downloadable ebook just by going to our homepage that'll give you all lots of tips, lots of tricks to get yourself online the right way. So take advantage of these resources. This is the right time to do this. Don't be afraid to get yourself out there. And if you're afraid, there's lots of help out there.
Well, I can tell you this. You've got an unbelievably popular or powerful energy about you and a positive energy. And that's what I think people need in order to be successful in this crappy world of dating. You are definitely doing what you are born to do as far as I'm concerned. I've only known you for 15 minutes.
And she helps you take good headshots too.
Oh yeah. We do
which is
photos.
Huge.
Oh yeah. It's great. Oh, when you do our process, we figure it out for women. We figure out who's your high GHQ guy, high and good husband quality. So we've got a roadmap set up. Then you go to our photo studio. We do 5 different outfit changes so it doesn't look like a professional photo shoot. So we throw the dogs off the scent a little bit, and we shoot all around Chicago, and we dress people up in their
wow.
own clothes. Yeah. And then
it's
we write your profile. So we make it really easy.
All right, man. Wow, that's all-encompassing.
It is.
That's really cool. All right, Bella, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
All right, cool. She's got a good, positive vibe for me.
I know.
All right.
There you go.
I know. 2016.
Let it permeate over
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Right
so
over here. We're sending the zhuzh your way.
The zhuzh.
Coming over here.
Sending the zhuzh my way. Mark that one down, Kev.
How do you spell zhuzh?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. What were you going to say something, Dave?
You feeling different now?
I feel completely different.
I thought so.
Okay.
Woo!
I'm going to meet a girl today.
You're giddy. Look at you.
And I don't expect it.
And I don't want it or expect
right.
it.
Right. Awesome. Come on,
I'll be married by next Thursday.
Oh, God. 50s hey. Is the new 30s.
Oh,
know.
Thank
Come
you
on.
Very much.
Hey,
Nick, texter chiming in. Nick is single, ? Okay, that should be the focus of the story. He's cute.
Clearly.
I sent the zhuzh your way, and look what happened.
There's a reason I'm on radio. I don't know if she's...
Nick and the texter
sitting in the tree.
That's what I want. I want a texter. I would like an anonymous texter. That's the kind of relationship I would like to start. All right, Bella, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming down. Now, you're on a team, right?
Yeah, we did
you're
it
captain,
last year.
Aren't you?
It's great.
You're you were captain. I Who else? Wasn't
Patty was
on a team
captain
as well?
Last year?
Okay,
she had her own team.
All right. Oh, did you guys compete?
She like really trained for it. She went a little over the top.
She had like 100 people on her team, didn't she?
No. I don't know if it was that.
100.
She like
had a ton,
but she came in early and would, you know, practice.
She'd
here.
Run the stairs. Yeah. Bill Leff was running the stairs.
That's yeah. right.
Yeah. Well, Bill, you're always running around, aren't
yeah,
you? You're one of those guys who is in shape.
I apologize.
I'm one
for
of those
that.
Guys.
Those guys.
Yeah, shame I'm, on you.
I'm going to rethink that this year. I
yeah,
think
that's your enough resolution is to not be in shape.
Right. Enough.
That's my resolution every year. Oddly. Hi, guys.
Hello,
good
Nick.
Morning.
How are you? Do you guys have a junk food that you're addicted to? Speaking of staying in shape, is there like it? You're trying to stay away from it. We were talking about it earlier.
I like all junk food. I like Taco Bell. I heard that.
Yeah,
you know,
Taco Bell.
Reese's peanut butter cups are a miracle. Just
yeah.
nothing short of a miracle.
The crunchy ones are the better
ones.
Oh,
they're so good.
Only can get them at Walgreens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So all junk food?
I love junk food, but I don't go sweet. I go like
savory, salty.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Greasy.
Oh, man. I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
Wendy will lick the street after a salt truck has come down the road. It's the weirdest thing you ever saw.
Sounds normal to me. So this is why I don't date.
All right. Well, thank you, Nick.
You
did a great job
thank
filling
you.
In.
I appreciate
Nicely
it.
Done.
Steve Cochran back tomorrow?
Yes.
Cool.